Durant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
Curry with a drive. Blocked by Jackson.
Bane, step back three. Bingo!
Hello, Grizzly fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Core 4, one of the featured podcasts here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. We are taping this show Wednesday evening, December 20th, 2023. One day after, Ja Morant made a miraculous return to lead our team to a 115-113 win over the Pelicans. A team, Xavier, I feel like they beat us every single time. Great to get a win over New Orleans. Great to see Ja back. And great to be smiling again about Memphis Grizzlies basketball. So today we're going to feature some of our regular Core 4 segments. We have Xavier's X's and O's and Embrace Debate. We'll hand out some holiday presents, and then we'll close with each of us giving a final word. My name is David Buckler, and today I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Xavier Dotson. How you doing, Xavier?
Man, I'm doing well. I'm even better knowing that Ja Morant is back. The Grizzlies got a win last night, and just energy is just high now back with Memphis Grizzlies basketball. It was almost Christmas Day yesterday. How excited everybody was just to watch Ja Morant play basketball once again. Like you mentioned, we came away with a close game win, and Ja Morant, it seems like he hasn't lost a step.
Down 24. Down 24, and they came back to win. But I wanted to say, like, I mean, Ja was amazing last night. What were your initial thoughts, though, after the game? Like, my initial thought, Xavier, was like, nothing's changed. Like, we really, really need this guy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we in a position right now with only won 7 games. But and now it's, okay, now with Ja back, I'm like, okay, we really can make a stance now. Maybe trying to reach the play-in isn't a bad thing. We have our superstar back, and we're getting guys healthier and healthier because there's a lot of good news that's been breaking lately. You know, Smart's supposed to be coming back within this week. Kennard coming back. And even further down the line, I just read that Brandon Clark could possibly be back in February. That's huge. So, obviously, Ja Morant is going to, you know, elevate these guys' play. Hopefully, we have find one of these role players. And, you know, right now we got Vince Williams that's been blooming within the past month or so. But hopefully, you know, maybe Zaire or Roddy can start playing along, because we saw at the end of the game, they were really happy that we got that win. That shows some type of resilience and leadership of Ja Morant. Like, hey, we was down, like you said, 24 points to come back on the road and take the win and capture that game. Man, I'm just really happy. You know, I'm glad. And hopefully, you know, the Memphis, we can make a run from there.
Well, the problem is, Xavier, there's no wiggle room. We have to win a lot now. I mean, right? We can't go through a stretch where we lose, let's say, 10 of 15 games. I mean, we really, really have to play good basketball here to the end of the season. We'll get into this a little bit later. But listen, for at least one night, it was super exciting. Down 24 in New Orleans, you're thinking this season's over. Even though Ja is back, this season's over. To win that game, and you look at our schedule, it's very interesting. I mean, we have to win tomorrow night at home against Indiana. Even Indiana struggled a little bit since that play-in
tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't look great since they got blown out by the Lakers. But if we, you know, we don't win tomorrow night, we have 4 straight road games after that. And it's a mixed bag. I mean, Atlanta, New Orleans, Denver, and the Clippers, we should sort of go 3-1, right? I mean, although the Clippers are playing well, but this is a time, correct me if I'm wrong, where we need to now go on a run.
Yeah, most certainly. We have to capture these wins.
Right.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, there is still a lot left in the season, but at the same time, we dug ourselves in a hole.
Right.
We don't have enough time to just pull ourselves out of. So we have to capture these wins, especially early right now.
So exactly. So tomorrow night, the Pacers come in. We have to win that game. Yeah. If we're going to get to the playoffs, and I just saw on ESPN today, we have a 1% chance to make the playoffs. you know, in their mathematical model. And you know, we could argue about that. But the point is, tomorrow night, you have to beat the Pacers at home because then we go on the road for four. It's not realistic to say we're going to go 5-0 in those games. We have to go 4-1. That's the problem with how we started this season so poorly, is that now we have to win these games. If we lose tomorrow night to Indiana, Xavier, oh my goodness, like the excitement of Ja's return, it just, this is a real problem. I want to jump right in, if we could, to Xavier's X's and O's, one of my favorite segments, because you really, really break down, you know, how the team is playing. And I think this is a very obvious one this week. Xavier's X's and O's, Ja Morant's returning. My first question to you is, what did you see with Ja coming back in terms of the team's execution, how they played differently than without him?
Yeah, I mean, one thing immediately jumped to me was the presence of us scoring inside the paint. Huh. Because the paint points was a big last night. We scored 64 paint points. And without Ja Morant, we've been struggling to score inside the paint. And typically Grizzlies fashion since Taylor Jenkins and Ja Morant era, we're always a top five team that scores inside the paint each year. And it just goes to show who's the person that's creating that opportunity, and that's Ja Morant. But not only that, it's just that Ja Morant's gravity makes life so much easier for our other players, such as Desmond Bane, of course, Jaren Jackson. You know, there are two great players of their own. But the role players such as Vince Williams, Zaire, and Bismack Biyombo, I made a breakdown video earlier today, and I broke down talking about, like, Ja Morant's doesn't really even have to attack the paint for the defense to shift their attention on Ja. I mean, all he has to do is have the ball in his hand. And when you have such a fantastic playmaker, Ja Morant, he has eyes to scout the whole entire floor. He reads defense's body language. And so he's going to find those wide open shots, and it's up to those role players to make those wide open shots. And I mean, the leadership right there, you know, we've played some close games this year. Don't get me wrong, but we have not been able to capitalize and win those games. Ja Morant obviously is a superstar, top 10 player when his head is on right. Like you talked about, we was down 24 points. I mean, I was really just satisfied, you know, seeing Ja Morant being back on the court. I was like, okay, well, Memphis might, we might just take this L. It's good to see Ja Morant back on the court. Hopefully we get the win back at home. But no, he basically turned it up. This man hasn't played no basketball minutes at all. He's not in NBA shape at the moment. We saw him gas. To have the ability to turn on the engines and close that game out and take control, man, it just shows the type of leadership and resilience that this guy has, and he's going to embody that into this team.
Well, he admitted being in NBA shape is different, right? He had take oxygen during the game because he was losing his breath. I mean, he's like, this is a lot different than playing pickup. You know, it was so interesting to watch this game. I got to tell you, watching this game, even down 24, because we had Ja Morant, I felt differently. Is it fair to say, like, you know, go back to the beginning of the season or whenever he was suspended, when you don't have that superstar, you don't feel like, oh, we can come back. But I kind of felt last night like, well, in the fourth quarter, Ja Morant might be able to bring us back. And I thought it was really, really fascinating to have him back on the court. I have to tell you, because, you know, I'm usually grumpy and, like, I think we're never any good and all that kind of stuff. I had a feeling of hope, and it was really exciting. My wife said to me, Xavier, she said, it was really fun to watch the Grizzlies tonight.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Right. I mean, yeah. because she doesn't look at it quite like you and I do, but she's just on the outside looking in like, yeah, this is kind of fun again. Yeah. And then when he hit that shot to win the game, the problem is, and I would push back on some of this excitement, is that we really, really have to win the games we really, really have to win now. Maybe that sounds simple, but like, well, Indiana tomorrow night at home, you know, we've been terrible at home. We have to win that game tomorrow night. That is what the the problem is with the first 25 games. If we were 500, you can slip up. We can't slip up anymore. Is it fair to say, Xavier, that we have to at least keep this momentum going? I mean, we can't be excited about last night and then just like over the next 10 games go 3-7.
Yeah, most certainly. We can't ride the high of this one win, right? Because at the end of the day, we have bigger goals. That one win doesn't dictate our whole season. We've talked about it numerous times. The Grizzlies have dug themselves in a hole. Yeah. And now they're trying to dig themselves, you know, put themselves out of it. Ja Morant is, I'm not going to say he's the savior, but he's obviously, you know, the leader of this team. So, like I said, we're getting guys healthier. Marcus Smart will be here within this, probably, he'll probably play Saturday. Luke Kennard would be here soon. Man, I really feel like that we can shift gears and focus, and hopefully we can make a run. I've been talking about it. I think a trade is most likely going to happen because between Bane, Jaren, and Ja, we know our core three, but they still need some surrounding pieces. I feel like as much as Bismack Biyombo has sort of helped us, I feel like we can do an upgrade on a big man. And as great as, you know, Vince Williams has been, they still need a serviceable wing, you know, that's been through some ropes. So I'm looking forward to later on in the season. But right now, focusing with Ja Morant coming back, we just can't ride this high with this one win. It's a great story. The script has been scripted. You know, we got the comeback win yesterday. Ja Morant got the win for us. But we still have bigger things and goals to achieve.
So before we move to the next segment, let me ask you this. Is there a player or two that you think that Ja Morant's return helps the most in terms of them as an NBA player and their, you know, the way they can help the team?
I see that with Xavier Tillman.
Oh.
You know, Tillman sort of has been basically mid at best this year. He finally made a corner three yesterday. I don't know, maybe Ja Morant throws better passes so he can fake a three. As well, Tillman has a great ability when he's actually rolling to the rim. He has a nice soft touch. Ja Morant is going to find him for easy looks now because obviously, you know, Ja Morant is going to draw plenty of attention, draw into the rim. Xavier Tillman, all he has to do is do that scoop shot that he's patented about. So I see that. And then as well, if I have to say somebody else, Jaren Jackson, because we really now have seen like a different approach of Jaren Jackson of being aggressive, and he's been doing that without Ja Morant. So when we get this Ja and Jaren connection going, especially with the pick and roll, because Ja, as great as a superstar Ja is, he is very unselfish.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jaren can possibly have 25-point nights with Ja Morant each night, really, because we know, like I said, Ja Morant is going to draw plenty of attention. If you have an aggressive Jaren rolling to the rim, like I said, the dump off should be there.
I'm going to pause right there because I might have a comment on Jaren in my final take today. Let's move to our next segment, Embrace Debate. It was super exciting, Xavier, to win last night against New Orleans and to see Ja Morant back, but it came at sort of a cost because you have to change the roster. And we've had some roster decisions we had to make the last couple weeks. I feel our team is too small. With Ja coming back, Kenny Lofton Jr. was let go. I'm okay with it. I never loved Kenny Lofton Jr. Some people on Twitter and other, you know, they love Kenny Lofton. I think he's a nice human being. And I think another team will pick him up at some point, maybe a two-way contract. Maybe he'll go and play in the G League. So looking at the team now, in your opinion, where do we stand in terms of making a push with Ja Morant because he just came back versus like, yeah, that's great, but maybe there's still a trade out there.
Yeah, this roster still isn't competent enough to compete with the big dogs in the league. We have a big three. We have a core three between Ja, Jaren, and Bang, which is really great. But at the same time, like you say, we are pretty short and thin. Rebounding is still a problem with this team. The addition of Bismack, yes, he has, you know, filled the void to be a bigger body. But at the same time, he has not just been a great big in a way. Obviously, he's just going to, you know, take the beat, guard the center. He's a little flat-footed. Times he get out rebounding and offensively, and truth be told, he pretty much sucks. So I feel like there's you can make find an upgrade there, especially when you have teams, you know, establishing that they're not going to be contending. They're trying to blow things up. We look at somebody like the Pistons right now, where they're on a 24-game losing streak.
Oh my God!
Obviously, I've never seen a team that's basically going to have to rebuild from a rebuild, but they're going to be most likely moving some pieces soon. You know, they got that tough guy, Isaiah Stewart. Bagley might be a person. I doubt if they want to move on from Jalen Duren. But I don't see this team right now as the roster stands competent enough. They just don't have the correct talent right now. And they're going to have to make a move. It's two positions that they have to make a move, a defined move for. Center, most definitely. You got to find a guy that's going to be able to rebound. We know Jaren Jackson isn't a strong rebounder, so you can't be reluctant on him to fill that void for you. And then, two, I like that they're developing Vince Williams, but at the same time, if you want to make that push, you don't have a lot of time to just truly let Vince to develop. Find you a nice, strong wing that's been in the league for a minute and make that trade.
Well, the Biombo-Tillman combination is – maybe like the last game, you know, they kind of split time the last game and they were both marginally effective. The problem is we have a big three and how do we fill in the other two and then the bench? And I've seen a lot of, you know, really actually pretty good analysis on Twitter and everything about, you know, who should play, whether it's Conchar and Zaire and Roddy and all these guys. My problem is that I feel like the 2022 draft class Xavier is like super average. And you know, like I liked Lofton, but he was 6'6". I mean, he's just 6'6". And he wasn't 6'6" like Charles Barkley, who's undersized. But you look at him like, oh my goodness, this guy is an incredible talent. I feel sort of bad for Lofton Jr. He only played, you know, 15 games this year, a little less than 7 minutes. You could argue, did he really get, you know, did they give him a chance to stick on this roster? I'm okay. I don't know if you remember this. I told you last year during the Las Vegas Summer League, G.G. Jackson, the biggest standout to me on that Grizzly Summer League team, and which, by the way, I thought was wildly underperforming with Laravia. And the like, I felt like we should have been one of the best Summer League teams with these guys. We were terrible. But G.G. Jackson, 6'8", 6'9", you can't teach size. We talked about this earlier. I kind of really like him. You know, the wing we're always looking for. Is it fair to ask you that maybe G.G. Jackson should get more playing time? Or is his development better in the G League?
Yeah, I don't think G.G. Jackson's time frame right now matches the Grizzlies.
You know,
the kid just turned 19, was a few days ago. So, I mean, he had his little first few buckets against the garbage time against Oklahoma City the other night. I've been watching him with us. So trust me, I'm on that G.G. hype train right now. I feel like his development is crucial for the Grizzlies because I think that they do have a plan with him later down in the future. You talk about that 2022 draft class.
Yeah.
The two wings, well, three wings, and the two that were supposedly the first round picks. Obviously, they've been underperforming. And then, you know, Vince Williams has sort of been the only person that's taken advantage of his opportunity. G.G., I think that the Grizzlies are going to keep him in the G League, you know, give him the runs. Hopefully he'll play a little bit of minutes with the Grizzlies for time to time. But I don't see the Grizzlies putting a 19-year-old in that slot right now because there's just too much pressure on him to perform in the right manner. And we need to win games. That just doesn't make sense right now for a team that's desperate for wins to have a 19-year-old playing.
I do love his size. I do love
it. Yeah, I agree.
So we have to separate the human being from the I would say this at work. Like it's difference between the person and the job, right? Like John Conchar is a really, really nice player and a really, really nice human being. The other night he had 22 minutes, 0 points. I mean, how many NBA teams have a guy, Xavier, that plays 22 minutes and doesn't score?
You got PJ Tucker.
I wish we had PJ Tucker. I mean, he's a rebounder, you know. But we have a couple guys on this team that just the consistency, like Zaire Williams one night has 19 and the next night he has 3. David Roddy, Raravia. I just feel like Conchar, we have a bunch of guys on this team that are not consistently productive. Now, let me ask you this before we move to our next segment. Is that a product of them, or is it a product of the coaching and the way they put them into the certain roles and the way they've been kind of coached up? I mean, what do you think?
I mean, every player has different goals in mind, right? Some players understand that they want a bigger role. Some players feel like that they're going to stick to a role that, you know, what the coach either gave them or what they have in mind of what player that they think they are.
Okay.
But the players that we have, I mean, you don't see much progress from year after year, right?
It's a concern. It's a concern.
Yeah, and I don't see the urgency of them wanting to, you know, get better. And you have to realize every player has their own goals of which what they want to do. Some players are just, you know, unfortunately, I wouldn't say unfortunately, they just want to be there, you know, get the paycheck and say, hey, I played in the NBA at one point. You can't, at times, like, you can sort of blame the coaching staff, but at times, you know, the coaching staff do put challenges, especially Taylor Jenkins during summer league. He always challenges, you know, the players with an assignment. Year before last, when Zaire was in summer league, he challenged Zaire to be a playmaker, and he did that. The year before that one, he challenged Desmond Bain to be a playmaker.
It was Bain, right, yeah.
Yeah, so he gives them assignments for them to work on during the offseason. So Taylor Jenkins is doing that. It's up to the player to fulfill that. And sometimes draft busts actually happen. So we had – Kleiman took the chance on a bunch of rookies last year. They haven't just, you know, come up to par like we wanted so quickly. They're not fitting the time frame of winning right away and producing right away. But, I mean, maybe if we send them to a team, especially like a younger team, in which they can figure their way out, like the Detroit Pistons, maybe they could turn that to something better.
I like it. I like it. I'll tell you what, let's move to our next segment. And you know what? I'm always like the Grinch, right? We're going to move to our next segment and be more positive and get out some holiday presents. Let's go. All right. So Christmas next week, by the time we record again, we'll have been already past Christmas. So this is a good opportunity for you and I to hand out some Christmas presents. I have a couple listed here. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
I would like to hear what you have to say first, Dave.
All right. So because last week I was a total idiot and didn't record the show. Yeah, I'm so embarrassed. We had a really good show that no one ever hear. So I'm going to hand out for this year's Christmas, I'm going to send the Pete Pranick Award again, because I talked about this last week, to the Golden State Warriors. It's the Hammer Nail Coffin, This Baby's Over Award. We're still going to send it to the Golden State Warriors. I know they had a good win against the Celtics last night, but it's over for them. They're 13-14. The Draymond Green thing is, I mean, he's out indefinitely. I mean, I love that Klay Thompson's making 43. I mean, I wish I could make Klay Thompson money, but if you average about 16 points a game. So I'm going to send my holiday present to the Golden State Warriors. You're all going to collectively get the Pete Pranico Award because, look, like we've got struggles in Memphis, but Golden State, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors, obviously, they they got a handful over there, and you don't know who's going to be with the future. You don't know how the older players are going to respond right now. I see why Bob Myers left. I see why Bob Myers left. I like that award. My award is pretty simple. I'm glad that you're back award. That goes straight to Ja Morant.
Yes.
Ja Morant, you know, I understand you made a mistake. You made multiple mistakes. And luckily, we live in a world that you can bounce back from your mistake. That's how you bounced back yesterday. You made a statement. Everybody's watching you. You know, The NBA had us on a national televised game. Mm-hmm. See us that we're down 24 points. You could have laid that. You could have went ahead and laid down. Try again. Was it tomorrow against the Pacers? But no, you pull out a comeback, an old fashioned slugfest at the end right there. I loved that game. It was very emotional. You know, two young teams going against your old AU partner Zion Williamson. And then, man, you captivate on making the last game-winning shot of the game. So I'm glad that you're back, Ja Morant. And please be here for definite for the rest of the season, my guy.
Oh, amen. I listen here. He sort of gave us a stocking stuffer, right? I went to bed happy last night. It's been probably 8 months since I saw that. That's a great one. Hey, by the way, let's give a clean bill of health Christmas stocking stuffer to Marcus Smart, man. Like, we need you back. I'm really interested to see how he blends with Ja Morant. I think he's going to be a really good addition, Xavier, but we haven't seen it yet. But Ja was out, and let's see how Marcus Smart really integrates to the team. So let's get a clean bill of health to Marcus Smart, because I'm super hopeful over the next couple of weeks that we're going to play good basketball and drag ourselves really back into, I mean, that's what we have to do now, drag ourselves back into the playoff picture. Do you have any other holiday presents to hand out?
That was all I have.
I have one more for you, Xavier, tonight. I would like to give a 3-bottle of wine gift basket from Harry and David to Vince Williams Jr.
Oh.
Because I looked up the Grizzlies' salary on the internet, and his wasn't even listed.
Yeah.
I mean, Ja Morant makes ridiculous money. You know, Desmond Bane, they all earn it. But, like, Vince Williams has made some really important impacts to this team.
Yes.
I don't even know what to make of him. I think he's a very below-average NBA player, and then every time I look up, he's guarding, you know, the other team's best player, and he's really good in that role. He's carved out an NBA role. Is that fair?
Yes. I feel like that he has, you know, definitely found himself as a role player, a wing, a pesky wing.
Right.
At best. And then as well, you know, if he's open in the corner for a three, he can make it.
I just think that I was completely wrong about him, and I feel sort of bad about it. I feel he has really been an important contributor to this team, and I didn't expect that. And so I'm going to send him a gift basket for Christmas with a couple bottles of wine. Yeah, because, like, you know, Jared doesn't need a bottle of wine. He makes millions of dollars. Ja Morant, yeah. All these guys make tons of money. Vince Williams. You know, Xavier, if we talk in April and May and the Grizzlies are a playoff team and we're excited, I just feel like the contributions that Vince Williams Jr. made during a weird time for our team, he's been pretty good. I mean, the numbers aren't great. I mean, no one's going to say he's an all-star in it, but I don't know. Like, I kind of feel okay with him on the court. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, he's showing that he could be a guy that you can play. Taylor Jenkins is establishing trust with him.
Right.
So, you know, at any point, especially as we start to get more healthier and healthier, at any point, Taylor Jenkins can, well, they got to come up with a decision, because let me stop there. He's still on the two-way. You know, he only has 45 games to play. So, if he's playing, you know, better than the wings that are established and have an established contract that you can look up on Google, you know, the Grizzlies got to make a decision. Should we go ahead and pull him up for a full-time contract? So that's another front office decision that the Grizzlies have to make.
Mm-hmm. What I like about the format of the show now is I want to give you and myself a quick final take, you know, an open forum. So Xavier, what's on your mind when it comes to Memphis Grizzlies basketball?
I think we're seeing a new uproar right now. Obviously, the mood is a lot higher due to the fact Ja Morant is back and we finally got a win. I'm not saying that this season is going to end in a fairy tale with us in the playoffs, but I'm pretty optimistic. I'm here for the roller coaster. I said I was strapped in for the roller coaster, and well, here we are, and maybe we're on the way back up on the Superman. You know, you remember that ride that take you all the way up? Maybe that's where we're heading right now, hot riding all the way up. But there's still a lot of flaws in this team that, you know, that can't go undressed. Sometimes the coaching is pretty questionable. Sometimes our role players just don't have the talent to help our supporting our stars. So I'm here for the roller coaster. And but you had to, if I were to tell you right now if the Grizzlies were going to make the playoffs, I would give it a 60% chance.
I like your vision of this much better because I like your positivity.
Yeah, I'm on a 60% chance, and I'm happy that we're looking like we're on a better path.
Very good. Okay, so my final take, by the way, my final take tonight was going to be about where is Steven Adams? I mean, he had a knee surgery. He can't be on the bench, like, coaching. Am I wrong? Like, is he just gone? I have not seen – okay, I don't want to get into it because I have other thoughts about that. Maybe we'll address that on an upcoming episode of the Core Four, but – next week, Xavier, I have an interview scheduled with Sean Coleman, who is a Grizzlies writer, and he's a fellow Bluff City Media team member. And what I love about Sean is he really gets into the statistics, and he's a really, really erudite, smart basketball fan. But he and I disagree about Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, everyone's in love with Jaren and his recent offensive production. And then I would argue, well, you know, on the 18th of December, he got completely outplayed by Chet Holmgren. Remember last time we talked, you and I, the episode I didn't record, which is ridiculous. I'm again sorry. But we talked about the ESPN article that had the Western Conference All-Stars. And it came down to Chet Holmgren and Jaren Jackson Jr. They're really close. And I kind of felt like that was an opportunity, Xavier, for Jaren to like be like, no, I'm the all-star in that role. I mean, Jaren had 11-5. The big thing was Chet had 17-6, but 7 blocks. Where was Jaren's like, no, I'm going to be the best defensive player on this floor tonight. I'm going to like, you know, be the dominator. And he wasn't. And I don't even necessarily care about the score. You know, other than like, I didn't feel like Jaren showed up and said like, no, I'm going to be the best defensive player in the court tonight. I've read that ESPN article. I'm a better player than you. I mean, Jaren's, you know, got really nice numbers. But is it fair to say, Xavier, sometimes he doesn't impose his will and he complains too much?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we see at times the inconsistencies of Jaren because he has hot spurts and then as well he has cold spurts. We've seen it this season. But, I mean, we look at another big, one of the most dominant bigs in the league, such as Anthony Davis, and yet he's 30 years old and people still talk about his inconsistencies. You know, as much as we talk about players and wanting them to play the same every single night, we don't know what's going through their mind. Obviously, I played ball at one point. I mean, I didn't play NBA or collegiate, but I would try to give it all my all every single night on the court. But at the same time, you know, we go through different stuff throughout the day. So I can understand the frustrations with Jaren of not being physically dominant because, you know, the old school people, they see when you see somebody that's the top position in your position, they always talk about you should come out there and play your best ball. Well, you know, I mean, this is a new era right now. You know, everybody wants to be buddy-buddy with everyone and don't care about the regular season and want to play in the postseason. That's when they want to turn it up a notch. Jaren Jackson, he's still a phenomenal athlete and player to me. I still think he's a valuable piece for this Grizzlies team. So, you know, I just really can't strike Jaren on that off, you know, of a one game and then certain slumps that he have throughout the year.
I'm looking forward to talking to Sean. He does a great job on Bluff City Media, really, really breaking down the statistics of the team and where we stand. I think he'll be a good guest on the show. Xavier, great recording with you as always. Please tell everyone where we can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and then on YouTube at Zaytown Takes. And then you can find me on TikTok at _XZAY for a little bit more detailed NBA content besides the Grizzlies.
So, but you cover the college team too, right? And like so you're not just Grizzlies, is that fair?
Yeah, so I do cover the Memphis Tigers here on Bluff City Media. So You as well catch me, you know, if you're a big Tigers fan, I'm starting to make videos about them as well.
Well, my favorite thing about recording with you is you are very passionate about Memphis sports. So I think that that's wonderful. Please follow Xavier, as he mentioned there, on social media. Find me on DLB19338. And don't forget to send us any, topics or questions you wanted to discuss on an upcoming podcast of the Core Four. Xavier, great recording with you tonight. I'm a little nervous, I got to tell you, about the Indiana game tomorrow night, because I feel so good about the win over the Pelicans, but we got to keep going, right? To essentially be really, really good from now until the end of the season, if you look at the math. So anyway, great recording with you tonight. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the Core Four. It's the show for the hardcore Memphis Grizzlies fans.
Stolen by Morant. Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.